As we have heard our holy scriptures, let us pray. Embracing God, no matter where we are in our lives, you seek us out. You draw us in and give us a place at your side. Encourage and empower us this day that we might carry that message of radical welcoming into the world. We ask this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So does anybody here happen to know what seniority is? Who can give me the shortest description of what seniority is? If you raise your hand. Anybody? Seniority. What was that, Ron? Maturity to do the job properly. Somebody who stays in place a long time. Was there another one? Most experienced. Most of us have a good idea of what seniority is. Most of us should, because almost every profession deals with seniority in some way. Even if you've never worked a day in your life, if you have older siblings, you learn quickly what seniority means. It means getting perks for being around the longest, right? It means having not to do some of the more mind-numbing tasks at work. In some places, it means getting first pick of vacation days or first shot at a new position that opens up. In the case of siblings, it means getting to use the ride-on instead of the push mower. It means drying while somebody else washes, unless you want to wash. But hey, you're the oldest, you get to pick. In many facets of our lives, simply being around the longest has some surprising benefits. And no matter what those benefits are, you want to take what you can get when you can. I remember working the night shift at the Crown Plaza, the hotel over there, when I was still at UNB. It was a great job. But for the longest time, I was on the bottom rung. There weren't a whole lot of rungs on the night shift. I did the security checks. I delivered the early checkout slips to the rooms, and when I was done with that, I'd deliver the newspapers to all the rooms. There was a lot of up and down. Eventually, though, there was a change. I moved up a rung, and somebody else started at the bottom. Now, I didn't delegate all the worst jobs to him, but I wasn't running around nearly as much. So maybe taking advantage of those who have been in a place for less time isn't really what seniority is about. But the system does make some sense to us, right? Experienced or seasoned workers are given deference in situations. Perhaps even their wisdom is relied upon. Loyalty to a company is rewarded. New people might be humored, but won't be a part of the decision-making, at least not right away. The idea of seniority is not a new one. And in a very real way, we can see it lived out in our gospel reading today. After doing some teaching, Jesus and his disciples went on the road to Capernaum. And on the way there, the disciples were arguing amongst themselves about which one of them was the greatest in the group. In a way, they were fighting over seniority. I can almost hear Peter and Andrew saying, "Well, it was us that were called first from the boat. And so we are the greatest because we've been here the longest." And then you've got the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and they say, "Come on, you were just hired in the morning, we were hired in the afternoon, you don't get special perks for 5 extra hours." Now odds are, Jesus heard what was going on. I mean, he asked them about it when they got to Capernaum, so they probably weren't being very subtle about the whole thing. But rather than yell at them, or count the ways in which they weren't the greatest, or that they weren't greater than any other, he took an opportunity to teach them. He said, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. In essence, he's saying, if you want to be great, you have to be willing to roll up your sleeves and get dirty. And you have to want to serve others. Not just the ones that you think are worthy of your service, but all people. To bring the point home, he brought a child into their midst. He gave that child a big hug. And he said, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Now, this is a really nice story and maybe a great photo op for Jesus to be hugging this kid, welcoming them into his group. But why choose a child? Why not a grown man or a grown woman? Why not welcome someone who's sick or someone who's hated? Why welcome a child? Well, what do we know about children today? Let's say a toddler. What do we know about toddlers? Anybody got any ideas? They're honest, they're busy. What was the other one?
I said they're brutally honest.
Brutally honest.
Pretty vocal.
High energy. What? Pretty innocent. Positive? Is that what you said? Yeah? Loving. Children are all these things, right? But while they have a lot of energy, in a grown-up world, they can't outrun all those scary things. While they might be brutally honest, it's hard when the hard truth comes to them. And though they might be strong-willed, at least mine are, it's unlikely they're going to win any strong person competitions. So it might seem like a labored label, but in many ways, kids are helpless in this big world. Though they can cry out, it's only in the most extreme situations that they can affect great change in this world. And so often, they are powerless in this grown-up world. It would have been much the same for children in Jesus' day. Truth is, kids had it a lot worse in those days. They would have been powerless, they would have been helpless in the same way as we might see them today, but until they reached a certain age, they wouldn't even have been considered people. At best, they were cherished property. At worst, they were harshly abused labor. So in this moment, when the disciples were arguing about who is the greatest and the best, Christ welcomes the helpless. He welcomes the powerless. He welcomes the least. He welcomes the nobody. "You welcome this one," he said, "and it's like you're welcoming me, like you are welcoming the one who sent me." What a radical thing that he's asking his disciples to do. Not just to serve the sick and the lonely, the destitute and the despised, but also to serve a child, to welcome a child, to put what was at that point property above themselves. Now, we started this whole thing talking about seniority in the workplace. But as we worship here in a church approaching its 183rd year, as we sit with family whose ancestors laid the cornerstone of this building, do we as a church struggle with seniority in the same way as the business world? Do we, members of the body of Christ, climb over each other to proclaim one greater than the other? We'd like to say no. But even we have not been immune to the first-come, first-served mentality. And it's not just this church, so don't take it as a pointed criticism, but it's something that we should all always be working on. As a cradle United Church of Canada baby, it would be easy for me and others like me to say, as long as I've been alive, I've been at Christ's side. So I should get a bigger say in affairs. But that's just not how it works. Whether you've been here 40 years or 40 days, we are all a part of the same body, with no one greater than any other. No elder's voice is more worthy than that of a child. Sayings like, "That's my pew," or "It didn't work 30 years ago, it's not going to work today," and "That's not how St. Paul's does it." These are truly, truly meaningless things, because every moment that we breathe is a gift. Every night is the end of one thing, and every day a beginning of something new, even if it didn't work 30 years ago. True greatness, the greatness that Christ was talking about, the greatness that the disciples sought, perhaps without knowing it, the greatness that we aspire to, comes only when we serve one another without judgment and without condescension. When Christ welcomed a child, when he embraced that child, he was calling his disciples, calling us, to see every person, no matter how different, no matter how society views them, as worthy of God's love, worthy of our love. True greatness for the church works much the same way. It comes only when we embrace all children of God, offer our hand to those who've fallen, welcome each person, listen, truly listen to every voice. It only comes when we as a people, we as a church, serve and support the communities we are in. In the end, though, if we heed this call of Christ, it won't matter if greatness, true greatness, is achieved. We'll be too busy building each other up, building the kingdom of God. We'll be too busy serving the last and the least to be worried about who's the first and the greatest. And won't that be great? Amen.